Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Advent King. Amen. The Word of God for our devotion this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading in the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Thus far the word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, our plan over the next three midweek services is for Pastor Schmoller and Pastor Bishop and I to talk a little bit about some things that make Christmas, well, Christmas. What comes to mind? If we look around our neighborhoods, we see a lot of colored lights. Saturday, we hope to put up, and on Sunday, decorate the tree. And I'm sure all of you by now have purchased all your gifts. So I hope you know what three things we're going to be talking about, God willing, over the next 3 weeks. Tonight, I want to talk about gifts. I heard on the radio earlier today that the custom of putting out a creche, which really means child care. It was something that a baby was carried in when a mother was taking care of it. Or a manger scene was started in the year 1229 by St. Francis of Assisi. And after he put that up, he would invite the local children to step into the scene. This evening, that's what I'm asking you to do. To step into the scene as we see the Magi, the wise men, come to visit the child Jesus in the house where he was living in Bethlehem, perhaps 2 years after his birth. St. Matthew's Gospel is most familiar to us because it's the gospel lesson usually appointed for Epiphany Sunday. It is about the giving of gifts. But as the Holy Spirit reminds us that the season of Advent is a season of repentance, gifts remind us that the gift of our Savior, that the gift of Christmas that we celebrate is a gift that we neither have earned nor deserve. It was really the grace of God that moved Him to give the gift of His Son to us. And it's the grace of God that moves us to give gifts of thanksgiving to His Son. And so both God the Father and believers like the wise men have reasons behind the gifts they bring. And so this evening we look at two reasons behind gift giving. The first is grace toward the recipients. The second is thankfulness from the recipients. The wise men didn't just magically show up one night in Bethlehem. They didn't just magically know to bow down and worship this child as their Savior. Let's go back a bit in church history. Remember when God carried the children of Israel into captivity in Babylon, that the remnant there shared with the Babylonians that promise of God. In a very real way, Daniel did the very same thing that the Apostle Paul did. That the Apostle Paul writes about when he says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, that's exactly what Daniel did. He preached to those Gentiles in Babylon the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that good news had been passed on from generation to generation. So through the Word of God, these wise men, these magi and others knew about that King of the Jews who was to come. And God then led them in the miracle of the Christmas star to the place where they would find that Savior who was to come, whom God had promised. That gift of that Savior was by God's grace not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Grace is the reason that God loved the world and sent His Son Jesus here for Jew and Gentile alike. It was God's grace that took that message to that eastern part of the world where those magi came from. It was God's grace that revealed to them where to find the child, to know who He was, and to finally bow down and worship Him. It was God's grace that told them Jesus had come, and it was God's grace that led them to where Jesus lived. And there they were able to worship and bow down to Him. There they recognized Him as the one eternal Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law. You and I are the recipients also of that gift of God's grace. Christmas that we celebrate again this year, God willing, is a gift of God's grace that baby is born a human being. It's God's grace that you and I know who He is. It's God's grace that we trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life in paradise after we die. It is God's grace that you and I are in the faith and kept in the faith in Him until our dying day. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the gift to the world. The reason He gave that gift is His grace. Grace to the recipients of that holy child. You know, so often when we look at this account of the Magi visiting Jesus, and, you know, whether we combine it with the night of his birth in the manger or whether we talk about it as years later, don't we often almost immediately go to the gifts that the Magi brought of gold, of frankincense, of myrrh? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, though, who really gave the greater gift? Can any of those human gifts, as costly and valuable as they are, that they brought to Jesus, in any way top the gift that that little boy was and is for the whole world that God the Father gave? The greatest gift that we have is Jesus. And God promises us that along with him, he will also give us all things. St. John put it this way when he wrote, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." We heard James write in our lesson earlier, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And then he describes that good and perfect gift. "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." The Magi had good reason for bringing their gifts to the Savior, because by God's grace, he had given them the gift of that Savior. So God's reason was that, to give grace to these recipients. Their gift, in turn, was given in thankfulness from the recipients who recognize who Jesus is. When the Magi came to visit King Herod, they treated him, at least outwardly, as an equal. They would have done all the proper regal recognition of his reign, and they would have carried out all of the royal trappings when they met with Herod. But did you notice they didn't bow down to Herod? They didn't worship Herod. They didn't even listen to him, because the angel told them he's up to no good and he doesn't really want to come and worship the baby. So the angel sent them home by a different way. But not so with Jesus. They recognized him as the King of the Jews, but they in no way treated him as an equal. They bowed down to him. They worshiped him. And that word in the ancient world meant to put yourself in submission and service to another, to acknowledge that you're not that person's equal, but in humility, you bow before them. And so Matthew tells us, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, because the Holy Spirit had put faith in Jesus in their hearts, and they recognized him as the one who had come as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to them that there before them, this little boy would be the sacrificial payment for all of their sins, so that they could belong and worship the one true God. And then they offered their tangible gifts. Then they offered their gold and their incense and their myrrh as thanksgiving to him from receiving that gift. We heard another example of that in our first lesson this evening. when Moses was going to gather up things for the tent of meeting or the tabernacle, that portable worship place that Israel drug along behind them from Egypt to the promised land, a place that they would set up whenever they stopped, and then the glory of the Lord would come down into it, and that was God's visible presence in their midst. And they didn't move until He moved. And when God moved, then they followed. In thankfulness for that, the people brought the wood and the precious metals and the linens and the yarn that the women wove into different things. They brought all those furnishings for the tent of meeting. But what they really were bringing was their thankfulness. What they were really bringing was their hearts. These tangible things were just following along behind. The gift that the wise men, that the Magi gave to Jesus first, was their hearts. The gold and the incense and the myrrh, those were just tangible expressions of their thanksgiving to Him that followed along behind them. That is so with our gifts as well, isn't it? God doesn't want our outward gifts first. He doesn't want our outward gifts only. He desires our hearts. And He gives us that desire by giving us faith in Christ. You and I can't be thankful to God for what He's done unless God gave us the gift of faith. So God gave us the gift of our Savior. He gave us the gift of faith. And now He's given us the gift of thankfulness in that faith, where we bring Him our outward, tangible fruits of thankfulness and praise for what He's done. Advent is not Christmas. It's not even really pre-Christmas. Advent is a season of humility and repentance. And we know that's why our pyramids and our candles are the same color as they are during Lent. And so, like the Magi, we come before the Lord Jesus in humble repentance. We come before the Lord Jesus acknowledging that we are not His equal, that we don't reign with Him by birth or by right of something that we have done. But rather, we bow before Him and we worship Him as our King. We offer Him our thankful heart for leaving His throne in heaven and becoming Emmanuel, God with us. We have every good reason, as the Magi did, to associate gifts with Christmas, and even with preparation for Christmas. But not just the gifts, not the gifts that we give and receive with our family and our friends. But rather to remember, we have not earned and we do not deserve, but we have received by God's grace and are the recipients by God's grace of the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, He receives from us the thankfulness of our hearts. All of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds. The Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, has led us to Jesus. And now we bow down before Him and we worship Him. The Magi then returned to their country by another route, certainly to tell others about what they had seen. May our Christmas celebration and our Advent preparation be about doing the same thing. Amen.